So we're going to start off the service at Psalm 15. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. We're going to Psalm 15. Thank you for coming tonight. Psalm 15 is the white handout in front of you. There should be one in front of your chair. If not, you'd have to search around for it. Or you could just open your Bible, either way. Psalm 15. Little bit of a trickier one to sing. Well, just, you know, if you mess up, don't worry about it. I might mess up once because, you know, you're joining words together. The words help you out a little bit because it, like, stretches it out. Like, on the second verse, it says there, he. So you'll kind of know by reading it. But sometimes it's not as obvious, so we'll just do our best. Psalm 15, we're going to start. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that biteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? All right, good singing. Let's pray. Father, I pray you keep blessing the song service. The songs while we're singing, Lord, I pray that you please help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you help us to sing with understanding these words. And that you bless the service later on with Pastor Thompson, and you give him the words to speak, and you fill him with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to go on to the next song, which is a hymn 256. Number 256. Great doctrinal song based on the Bible, too. Look to the Lamb of God. Number 256. I'm just going to wave my hand a little bit, and then when I put it down, that's when we'll start. I'm going to do one, two, three, and then down we'll start. All right. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in his strength shall over all prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Are you aweary? Does the way seem long? Look to the Lamb of God. His love will cheer and fill your heart with song. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall. Look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God.
All right, welcome back to Steadfast Baptist Church this Sunday evening. Good to see everyone back. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand nice and high, and we can get that to you. We got our service times and our soul winning times there at the top. And see if I can find a pin. There we go. We had a total of 5 salvations out soul winning today. So praise God for that. And be in prayer for those people throughout the week. Also, we've got our list of expecting mothers to be in prayer for. And Miss Whitney Reed's baby shower is coming up. It's going to be May 29th at the church here from 2 to 4 p.m. So put that on your calendars. Also, we are in week number 15 of our Bible memory passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. So be diligent to memorize the scriptures throughout the week. And also on May 8th is going to be our Mother's Day event, our Mother's Day tea party. And all ladies are welcome to attend that. And it's going to be from 2 to 4 p.m. as well. And there will be a lot of, my wife was telling me about a lot of the details. It sounds like it's going to be pretty nice. And so hopefully it'll be a good time of fellowship and something to look forward to. Also, May 20th through the 22nd is going to be the men's fellowship retreat at the Riverbend Retreat Center. All men are welcome to attend that. If you are under the age of 16, if you can get a permission slip from your parents, you can attend that. Otherwise, there's a sign-up sheet on the back, and everyone's welcome to attend that as well, all men. And make sure that we get an email address for you as well, because that pastor's going to be sending out some information that's important for that. So if you have not put an email address, or if you need help with that, just see me after the service. Also, we've got the Ardmore, Oklahoma Soul Winning Marathon. That's going to be June 12th, and that's going to be an all-day event. That's a Saturday, so we'll have soul winning in the morning and then soul winning in the afternoon. And it's about 2 hours south of here on I-35. It's kind of that midpoint between here and the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so that'll be a lot of fun. Put that on your calendar as well. You don't want to miss that. And that's all, you know, all the announcements that I have for us this evening. We'll go to our next song. Brother Salvador, come lead us. Hymn number 127, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Hymn number 127.
All right, number 127, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Number 127. I'm going to do the same hand motions and we'll start. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Good singing. We're going to have the Bible reading, which is chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as the men take up the offering.
First Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible reads, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much that we could gather together today, hear your word preached, Lord. We just pray for those that those souls that were won to you today, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with them, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with Pastor Thompson now as he comes and gives us your word, Lord. Just fill him with your spirit, Lord. I just pray that you'd open our hearts and our ears to your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Anyway, I want to thank Pastor Shelley, and thanks everybody for your wonderful hospitality, and it's been great to be here. I'd definitely love to come back and see you guys again someday soon, just not in the summertime, but other than that, any other time's fine, or the wintertime, so anyway, it's been great to be here. Thank you everybody for treating my family really nice, and I appreciate people that traveled from afar to come up and hear me preach, so appreciate that. So let's look at our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Of course, we know these passages really well. And it says in verse 1, it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that had done so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this passage of Scripture, and Lord, for a church that would actually enforce these things. And God, I just pray that you continue to bless this church, Lord. And Lord, we know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I pray, Lord, that we would not get sweet on people that need to be kicked out of here. And Lord, that we would just take it as a sign that, Lord, you're cleaning house. And sometimes we kick people out. Sometimes people leave. And sometimes you throw them out, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us to discern these things and, Lord, not get sad and over sad about people that leave and move on from this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And that's what I'm preaching about tonight. The title of my sermon is called Bozos Be Gone. Amen. Bozos Amen. Be Gone. And so you guys had a bozo that's been gone for about a year now, and Bo Ballard, right? So he was a total bozo, and so his name fits him, you know. He's a bozo. But, you know, certain people just need to be gone. Yeah. Certain people just need to be out of the church. And he was kicked out for railing, you know. And obviously you guys know this, and this has been preached a lot. But I've just been enjoying hearing the humble stories of Bo all this weekend. And just like the great preaching that you guys all missed from him, right? Apparently he was just, you know, a stellar preacher here. And I'm kidding, of course. And I heard that my son had made up a name called Humbo. It's because he's so humble, right? But do you think this church is better without him or with him? It's better without him, isn't it? And from what I was told, you know, when he was doing all the soul winning here, another joke, by the way, he was not doing all the soul winning here, but like after he got kicked out, you guys had 100 people saved that month. So, you know, sometimes God, you know, needs to get the leaven out of the church, however that happens. And tonight I'm going to show you three ways that God removes, you know, that people get removed from the church, how bozos get bounced from the church. But it's not, you know, it's not just bozos that leave the church, okay? So don't get my title wrong. There are bozos that need to be kicked out, and bozo definitely needed to go. But there's also people that just move on and leave. And, you know, sometimes bozos get kicked out, and then they can be restored. Now, I don't know about that bozo, but, you know, some bozos can get brought back in, you know. And people can get things right. So don't get me wrong. I don't think that everybody that gets kicked out of a church is always just some kind of wolf, you know, or false prophet or something. But sometimes they are, you know. And I think that God knows when it's time to kick somebody out too. Sometimes people just reveal themselves as bozos, and then they leave themselves before they can get kicked out. So there's just a myriad of ways that people can leave the church. But hey, listen, you know, like Brother Cameron, he's moving. He's not a bozo for moving, you know. At least as far as I know, he's not. No, he's a great guy as far as I know. Then he's going down to Pure Word. So he's leaving, you know, a great pastor to go be at a church with another great pastor, Pastor Shelley, right? So anyway, but, you know, look, Bo needed to go. Yeah. And, you know, Bo didn't know diddly. So apparently, you know, some of the stories I heard were just, you know, crazy. And the whole sermon is not about Bo, so don't think it is. But one of the things I thought was pretty interesting was his Lord of the Rings theory about, like, when David was being overthrown by Absalom, and then the Bible talks about how the woods, like, took more soldiers than the battle itself. And he thought, he asked the question, did the trees come to life and kill all the people? Is that what happened? Like, it was like Lord of the Rings or something, you know? Like, what are you doing here, you orc, or whatever, you know? I mean, to actually, you know, he was dead serious from what I heard, that he actually thought that might be a possibility, you know? And as far as I know, trees don't come to life and kill people. So the other, I heard just right before the service, I heard one of the things that he was preaching that was like about the thief on the cross. How the thief on the cross, you know, said, you know, he said, verily, verily, you'll be in my, today you'll be in the kingdom, in paradise with me or whatever. I'm not quoting that right. But anyway, but he said, I've prayed better prayers with people than that. I've prayed better prayers with people than that. That's crazy. Yeah. You know, you had a better prayer, sinner's prayer, than Jesus did, huh? That's pretty humbo, you know, in my opinion. But, you know, this church is better off without that loser. You know, and look, good things came out of him being the leader. You know, now the church has new leadership. And, you know, obviously Donnie Romero is the one that started this church plant. And all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are called, them that are called according to his purpose. So, you know, hey, this church is still going. It's still strong. Yeah. And, you know, some people have left. Some people, look, people come and go. And that's one thing that's, you know, as a pastor, it's hard to see people leave. It's hard to see good people go. You know, it's hard to, but it's good to see bad people go, obviously. But, like, I'm not in the business of trying to run people off all the time. I want people to stay in my church, but not at the expense of, you know, breaking these rules here, where you would just be some kind of railer or some kind of fornicator. You know, we're not trying to keep people in here, you know, that would damage and cause damage to the church. Look at what it says in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? See, you get a little leaven, you get a little sin in here. And these sins that it's talking about in 1 Corinthians 5 are not little sins. These are sins that you should be kicked out for. This is how you would, these are sins that you would kick someone out for being a railer. That's what Bozo was a railer, right? And so he needed to go. And railing is always sin. It's always a lie. It's always wrong. So, and I know Pastor Shelley's covered this with you guys, but in this list in 1 Corinthians 5, none of these things are ever good to do at any time. So railing is not good to do at any time. Railing is lying. And, you know, calling Pastor Shelley a wolf is basically what he did. Called him an unsaved wolf. So where's your basis for that? You know, as far as I know, Pastor Shelley preaches the right gospel. Pastor Shelley believves in eternal security. Pastor Shelley, you know, how does that make him a wolf? As far as I'm concerned, he's made Steadfast a better church than it ever was. So, and Pastor Shelley's a good friend of mine, so I would definitely stick up for him. And, you know, obviously, I stick up for my friends. I believe in that. So, anyway, but people come and go, and what it can do is it can dishearten people. And people, that they're like, oh, this guy was really nice, he was really cool, and then they leave the church for whatever reason. You know, and sometimes it hurts people, or like it discourages people to see families leave or move away. And I just want to say this, that sometimes it's a good thing. And a lot of times it's a good thing. And sometimes you just don't know why they're leaving. Maybe God is moving them for a purpose. Maybe they were going to cause some big damage and God revealed them and got them out. And again, not every family that leaves the church is bad, okay? I'm not trying to say that. So, and you know, as we can see, that one church plant leader leaving here and then seeing how things have turned out since then, you know, a church plant or a church can survive leadership changes. And it does. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a change in leadership. And sometimes it's the best thing for the church. You don't see it at that time. You see the turmoil. You see the false prophets coming out. You see all the weasels that were believing in the flat earth and all this other stuff get exposed, and you're like, man, I can't believe this. I've never been through anything where all these people are getting kicked out and all these people are leaving. But look, God purges his church. He's going to purge the church, and you know, these bozos are going to reveal themselves. These bozos are going to leave, and sometimes God's going to get them out, and sometimes your pastor's going to kick them out. How many people has Pastor Shelley kicked out since he's been the pastor? It's over 100, right? Hey, they needed to go. They needed to go so that the church could be, that leaven could be taken away from the lump. So, and I believe personally in the next man up philosophy. So, in sports, that's a term, it's called next man up. Who's ever heard of that before? All right? Or next woman up, okay? But next man up is where you got like the starters. Like on a basketball team, you got 5 starters. And then there's people that, you know, they're on the bench waiting for their opportunity to come up and do good for the team in the game. And so sometimes those players get injured. You know, when they go down, what do? They call that person who's that person's replacement and say, hey, get in there and do the best you can. And that's what God does too. You know, just like a basketball team, he would, you know, someone would say, hey, coach, next man up. God will do the same thing. He'd say, hey, next man up. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as there's a man that will step up and do those things. And that's very important, that there's men that are ready and willing and training and getting ready for their time to be able to lead and those types of things. Now, not everybody's going to lead, but some people are you know, maybe not waiting just like, hey, I can't wait till somebody falls so I can lead. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, and maybe you don't even realize that it's that someone, you know, wants you to lead, or that you might not even see it in yourself. Let me tell you something. Moses tried to get to back out of being the leader of the children of Israel, didn't he? Was he just ready to jump in and lead? No. He was like, you know, call somebody else. I'm not very, I'm not eloquent. I have a slow tongue. And so Moses, one of the greatest men in the whole Bible, wrote Genesis. You know, he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. And do you think Moses was a good leader? Yeah, but he was hesitant. So look, just because someone's hesitant doesn't mean that they can't be a good leader. Now, God had to kind of smack him around a little bit and say, hey, who made the tongue? You know, and if God makes your tongue, anybody in this room, any man in this room, I don't care if you have a slow tongue or not, God can use you for mighty works and deeds. And just because you're not confident in yourself, hey, Moses wasn't confident in himself at first either, was he? But so that next man up philosophy, there's, you know, hey, the next man stood up, and, you know, here we are. The church is still running strong, and then you got your best preacher is on the bench. No, He was a terrible preacher.
Yeah.
He was awful. And like, if I could just get up and have men tell stories about how bad his preaching was, I've had him do it all the last couple days. And it's been very entertaining to me. But it's sad that you had to listen to it. You know, and when a church like this starts, and you know, people will be like, well, you know, you don't want to complain about stuff. You don't want to complain. You're just glad that you have a great church to go to. But a lot of people I saw, how, you know, it's the ladies that always know first. They're like, he sucks. I'm like, just give him a chance, huh? He's fine. From what I've heard, the ladies were right about him. So anyway, so what is a bozo? I looked it up in the on Google or whatever, and is the first definition of a bozo is a stupid, rude, or insignificant person, especially a man. Okay, that was the first one I found, and then the second one is a foolish or incompetent person. Would that picture bozo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, and so that's where the term comes from. And I'm not sure of the origin of it, but there is a clown. Who's heard of Bozo the Clown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if the shoe fits, wear it, you know. Bozo was a clown. Your Bozo was a clown. I mean, he still is a clown.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know where he got that Lord of the Rings doctrine from. Maybe because he looks like one of the people from the Lord of the Rings. But anyway, so tonight I just want to give you three ways how to the bozos be gone from the church, okay? So number one tonight, I just want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 in our text. So number one, we remove the bozo. We remove the bozo. So we find the bozo and we give them the boot. If someone's doing one of the sins in these scriptures here, they need to go. They're not doing good for the church. They're doing bad for the church. So look at verse number 9. It says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. So God is saying what? If they're a brother, supposedly a brother, then if they're doing any of these sins on this list, then you're not even supposed to eat with them. What do we do at church all the time as Baptists? We eat together, don't we? If we ain't eating, we ain't meeting. That's kind of one of the Baptist things. Last night we had a game night. What would it have been a good game night if we didn't have any food to eat? No. But so we're not even supposed to eat with that type of person, you know, if they're committing any of these sins. Now, obviously, you try to let people get things right. You know, if someone's a drunkard and they just can't quit, you know, boozing it up, then they have to go. Why? Because their sin is going to permeate into this church. And if people think that the pastor's just letting everything go and everything's a free-for-all, then it's going to be sin that's added and passed on to other church members. And we don't want that. If there's some people fornicating in the church and the pastor never says anything, which, by the way, happens all the time.
Yeah.
But if that pastor just doesn't do anything about it, then the people are going to just, it's going to spread. Because what does leaven do? It spreads, doesn't it? And so that's not something we want going on in the church. So if we're not supposed to eat with them, then they're not supposed to be in the church, right? Look at what it says in verse 12. For what have I to do, what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And this is the way you need to have the mentality of, is that you consider a person that's on this list a wicked person, just like the Apostle Paul says. And it says that God judges that person. What's the purpose of us throwing them out? So that they can get right. So they can get right with what they're doing. Because if they're, you know, fornicating, we want them to stop doing that, get married or whatever they have to do, and then come back once they get past that. But see, here's what happens, is that people get kicked out and then people, you know, still want to hang out with that person outside of church. That's wrong. We're supposed to shun that person. It says not to eat with them. So why would you have anything to do with them? You know, shunning is an acceptable way to, you know, get people to stop doing something. But here's what happens when people get kicked out or things like this will happen. Even their family members that are in the church will, you know, will still have stuff to do with them. You know, there's adultery going on in the family, and the parents that are saved are still taking the side of their sweet little girl or whatever, which is wrong. You know, they should have nothing to do with them, even if there is their daughter, because that will shame them into doing what's right. Amen. But the problem is that people aren't shaming people anymore for what they're doing wrong when they get kicked out of the church. And really, in all reality, what churches do you know that just kick people out for this all the time? Which ones?
Yeah.
Churches like ours, right? Yeah. But we're so mean, we're so hateful. No, we're just trying to do what God says in the Bible. Yeah. Now, so God calls them a wicked person. God's going to judge that person without. He's going to chasten that person. And then if they get right, they'll come back. But you know what? If not, then God's going to destroy that person's flesh. Now, obviously, you know, when I say bozo, it doesn't necessarily mean an unsaved person, okay? So, but they are doing stupid things. They are, you know, and in the case of your old beau, stupid, rude, or insignificant person, you know, foolish or incompetent. His preaching was incompetent. He was foolish, by the way, you know, he even preached his sermons, and he was insignificant. He was stupid. He was rude, you know, talking crap about your pastor behind his back, going to the enemies of God and revealing information as a talebearer. The guy's a wicked person, and he should be kicked out. And you know what? Unless he apologizes to Pastor Shelley and makes things right with you guys, I would never accept him back. So, let's see. So, Romans chapter 16. Let's turn to Romans chapter 16. And here's another instance of someone that should be thrown out. And number one, we need to remove the bozo. And when I say we, I mean the pastor. So it's not your job to kick somebody out, but you know what? If someone's doing one of these things on this list, you need to go to your pastor and don't, this isn't prison. You know, if someone's doing something like this and you don't tell the pastor, then you're doing something wrong. You're hiding the matter. You're concealing a matter that you shouldn't be concealing. That's something. And you're like, well, I like them. They're my friend. Well, if you're their friend, then you're going to do what's right.
Yeah.
And you're going to make sure they can get right. You don't hide stuff like that from your preacher. But look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And what? Hang out with them outside of church? No. It says, avoid them. Right. So we're supposed to mark those people that would cause divisions in this church.
Right.
Well, I think it's the pre-trib rapture. I mean, if someone actually believed that, they still shouldn't be going around causing division and trying to teach doctrine that's contrary to what this church teaches. Just like we would preach at an old IFB church, you don't go in and try to just turn everybody aside with every doctrine that you believe that they're wrong about. You sit down and you shut up and you try to learn something from that guy and go to them and treat them like a father if you say, hey, you know, I want to show you this about the post-trib pre-wrath rapture and see what you think about it. And you go to them respectfully. But anybody that comes to this church and they're a flat earther, does Pastor Shelley believe in the flat earth theory? Yeah, I don't think he does. So so if someone comes in here and they're pushing that garbage and they're spreading it around to other people, what are they doing? They're causing division. Now, if someone wants to believe that and keep their mouth shut, he'd probably still kick them out. No, I don't know if he would or not. Whatever, if I'm wrong about something, just, you know, Pastor Shelley's right. But but like, he might not kick them out, because if you keep it to yourself, then they would never. Nobody would ever know, right? Because you're not supposed to go and cause division. Now, it's a stupid doctrine to believe.
Right.
It's idiotic, but if they kept it to themselves, then you know really they're not harming anything. They're just harming their own mental capacities. But but look, we're supposed to mark people. That means you mark them and say that person's a bad person. And so the pastor's supposed to mark that person and then what? Kick them out. Because it's hard to avoid some if they're still hanging around and they're still allowed to come into the church. Now look at verse 18. It says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Who? The people that are causing divisions. The people that need to be marked. They're the people that are teaching doctrine that's contrary to what we believe. It says they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And that's something you need to catch on to right there, is that these people can speak good in a lot of cases. They're able to deceive people. Look at Billy Graham. Billy Graham has a lot of people deceived still. I get hate mail every day from people about Billy Graham, every day. Because I preached a sermon against him, like what, when he died. It was perfect timing. I struck while the iron was hot, you know. But you're like, what's wrong with Billy Graham? Well, he preaches a false gospel, for one thing. He said that all people are saved whether they know Christ or not. What are you talking about? That's crazy. But people go, oh, Billy Graham was a Baptist preacher. Really? No, he wasn't. He was a false prophet. He's a heretic. You should call him Billy Balaam instead. So, but the good words, fair speeches, people that ever speak well in public and things like that, and they can take and they can make the hearts of the simple to be deceived by their division. So what's it say? The people that cause divisions that we need to mark? That they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's something that we need to understand and get a hold of. It's very important. And you know what? Pastor Menes said this in a sermon not too long ago, and he's right, that we have people that are sitting in our churches that are a liability just sitting there. And he's right. There's people that sit in churches, and they're just waiting for their chance to strike. They're waiting for their chance to get their little following and then have their little coup of a pastor, or to just try to turn the hearts of people in the church. And so there's people sitting in churches all across America that, you know, they're just a liability sitting there. They're a liability being in your church, period. And I think that Pastor Jimenez used to be a little more nice about things like that and give people more chances, but as you get hardened and battle-scarred in the ministry, and you have all these people stab you in the back all the time, you kind of, you know, are like, well, maybe I should rethink this. Maybe I should try to just start preaching them out when I realize what they are. And, you know, that's a good tactic for a pastor to do, because, look, we don't want people like that to gain influence, but sometimes you just don't have the goods on people. Sometimes you don't have enough to kick somebody out. We can't just kick people out for whatever reason we want. There has to be concrete, solid evidence. And sometimes you don't have that because they're so good at what they do. They're so slick at being a wolf or a false prophet that it's hard to catch them in the things that they do. So we need to understand that there's people out there like that. And hey, if we find out and we get the goods, they got to go. Yeah. If they're doing these sins, these wicked sins, they need to go. And so that's how we remove the bozo, number one. But number two, the bozo can remove themselves. You know, and sometimes, I've said this before, that the little wolf ear sticks up out of their hat, or the little tail, you know, hangs out, and you're like, oh, they're a wolf. You know, we find something, they say something in their preaching that, like, you know, like that the trees come alive or something like that. I don't know if he preached that, but, or that he prayed a better prayer than Jesus. I mean, that should be a red flag in your mind right away when someone says something weird like that. Is there something else anybody's got that was good? Jesus' dress was like the glory of a woman's wedding dress. I think that's the one that got him, you know, nuked, right? His preaching was nuked after that because that's a, you know, it's a false doctrine. Yeah. You know, first of all, Jesus didn't wear a dress. He wore pants, didn't he?
Yep.
But, you know, you look at your Sunday school flannel graphs and all this stuff, and you're going to see Jesus in a dress. Any picture you see of Jesus, which we're not supposed to make pictures of Jesus, but any picture you see, he's always got long hair. He's always wearing a dress. You know, like he's an imam or something. He didn't wear a dress. Why would he say not to wear long clothing and then he wears long clothing? That doesn't make sense. So number two, the bozo removes himself. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So one, we remove the bozo when we find out that they're doing one of the things that would get them kicked out of church. Number two, the bozo removes themselves. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. It says, little children, is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So as time goes on, there's more Antichrist. How long ago did this get written? About 2,000 years ago. So there's probably many more now. The Bible talks about there being many false prophets, right? Now look what it says in verse 19. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Made manifest, being shown that they're not one of us. Why did they? How did they know that they were these antichrists? Because they were of us, and then they went out, and then they didn't want to have anything to do with us anymore. Like Manly Perry? Gets a following, and then, you know, then stabs Pastor Anderson in the back and all of his friends, and comes up with this weird and strange doctrines, you know, just too many. It's already been preached a lot, so I'm not going to dwell on that, but good night. You know, just the fact that he's saying that Jesus didn't go to hell for 3 days and three nights, you know, changing his preaching about it. Garbage. And then going after us for copyright strikes because he's probably getting destroyed by Pastor Shelley's multiple sermons that he's just, you know, just wrecked him with. And you know, when people type in that Old Path Baptist Church, they're finding all the false doctrine that he's teaching, and it's pissing him off. So he wants to go out. You know, he can't fight. He can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. So instead, he goes and just copyright strikes all of our stuff because he can't refute it. Because if he could refute it, he'd get out and refute it and say something about it. But he can't do that because he's a false teacher, period. So, and anyway, so there's people that are going to be in our churches. We're going to be like, we're going to think they're friends. And then they're going to write everybody's name in their Bible and then try to go through it and say, look at how many people I've gotten saved. What a weird thing to do while you're driving. Look at all, Cameron, look at all these people I got saved. I'm trying to find this one so I can pray for them while I'm driving. Weird. But those types of people, they go out from among us. We see the weird things that they do, but here's the thing about Christians is we're very forgiving people. And we know that sometimes people need to be made normal, right? Sometimes people come in, they're not exactly normal. You know, none of us were all normal either, right? But like as far as like doing weird things like that, I mean, those are things that should catch our eyes, and especially in a church like this. I mean, obviously you caught it, but we are forgiving people. You know, we want to give people the benefit of the doubt and think, well, maybe they just need to be shored up on this, that, or the other thing. But the Bible says that there's many antichrists, right? And it says that they go out from us because they're not of us. Right. And that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Turn to 3 John 9. 3 John 9. 3 John 9 says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Do you think, so Diotrephes is obviously the leader of this church, but what happened? Well, he loves to have the preeminence. Who's supposed to have the preeminence? The Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to have the preeminence, but Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence among them and receiveth us not. Sounds like he went out from among them because he was not of them. And then when they tried to come back to him, then he doesn't want to receive them. Why? Because he was a wolf. And it sounds just like Manly Perry. Again, Diotrephes Perry. You know, his cousin or something, his distant cousin. But why? Why do I say that? Well, because that's what he's saying too. He wouldn't receive one of us into his church. And obviously I wouldn't want to go. But that's exactly what he said. He didn't want any new IFB people in his church. He would throw them out. He would cast them out of the church. Yeah. Well, we're saved. So why would you have a problem having saved people in your church? Saved, tithing, soul winning people. What would be the problem? Well, because that's not who he is. That's not who he is. And you're like, well, look, his soul winning techniques are just weird, okay? His counting people that didn't call upon the name of the Lord, that's weird. Yeah, we had 80 people saved today with souls for rolls or whatever he was doing during the pandemic. Rolls for souls. 80 people saved this week. Yeah, sure. How many of them called upon the name of the Lord, though? Yeah. You know, so if someone just says they believe, I can walk up to the door. I can go and count lots of people being saved every day if I just want to go out with my little techniques of saying, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Okay, well, that's another one saved. You know, you can do that. Can't you? I know old IFB people that do that. Yeah. Hey, you know, we're just here inviting you to church. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Okay, well, bye. Have a good day. How many people say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the truth?
Yeah.
A lot of people. So, but Diotrephes is one of these people that went out from among them, but was not of them. He was a first generation, you know, disciple, apparently, or at least a second generation, and got sent out. You know, sometimes bozos get sent out, don't they? Sometimes bozos get put into positions of church leadership, and then they turn on the people of God. You know, Pastor Perry, if you want to call him a pastor, used Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez in order to get a following. And he even admits that on audio.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just using them so I could start my church. Well, yep, it worked.
Yeah.
Now he's got his own cult.
Yep.
So look at verse 10. It says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. So not only not content to do prating against them with malicious word, but he's not even content to do that. Neither doth he receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Doesn't sound like a very good Christian, does it? Doesn't sound like a saved man to me. Look at verse 11. It says, beloved, fall not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So at some point, this Diotrephes exposed himself as a wolf, exposed himself as a man that was sent, that went out from them, but he was not really of them. And we're going to have people that do that same thing too. They're going to go out from us, and they're going to prove that they're not of us. So bozos can remove themselves. They'll reveal themselves in situations, and then, you know, they'll leave before they can get kicked out and things like that. So look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Philippians 1, verse 28 says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. An evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. So there's people that are adversaries of us, and they try to terrify us and try to do all kinds of manner of evil against us. And it says to them it's an evident token of their perdition. It's evident that they are against us and hate the things of God. And so a token is a thing serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact. So the fact that they're doing these things and revealing themselves as wolves and fighting against soul winning, fighting against churches like this church, why do they do that? It's an evident token of their perdition. It's a fact. It's a representation of a fact. That they're going against us like this, that they're not of us. You know, and it's hard for us to imagine that every person that turns against us like this is some kind of reprobate, but it doesn't surprise me. I've seen a lot after being in the ministry for 5 years almost. I mean, I've seen a lot of just treachery and backstabbing people that you thought you were friends. And, you know, the first time I ever met Bo Ballard, he was really nice. I walked up, he said, hey, I'm Bo Ballard. Shook my hand, right? He was nice. But then the next time I saw him, he was like talking crap to me on a live stream because I was sticking up for Pastor Shelley because of the railing accusations that he was making. So people can seem nice, but you know what? There are people that are just going to reveal themselves, and that's okay. Bye. You know, at least we know where they stand afterward. But they'll still try to go down swinging, won't they? They'll still try to go down railing. I listened to one of his recordings after he got kicked out last night before I went to bed, and he's just a pompous jackass is what he is.
Yeah, that's right.
And he is a railer. And Pastor Shelley was really nice to him.
Yeah.
Even kicking him out, I thought he was very gracious because I probably would have freaked out. But anyway, Pastor Shelley has good patience. I mean, he's a good man. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I was talking to a pastor friend of mine who's being attacked by Ruckmanites as churches they're being attacked by Ruckmanites, and they're trying to overthrow them. They took their bank account over, and they just today, right after church, they were issued lawsuits against them and the whole church members for defamation of the character of one of the deacons that got fired, and he has mental anguish, and he's all sad about it. So he's trying to sue the people at the church for firing him and kicking them out. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's see what the Bible says about this. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge which are least esteemed in the church. Does it say you're supposed to have lawsuits against other believers? No. The Bible says that you're not supposed to take these types of matters to the law.
Right.
It's wicked. And so these bozos that got kicked out, and, there's railing accusations against me when it comes to this whole thing. I'm just the guy's friend, I'm not promoting their church. I'm not doing anything like that. But you know what I am doing is I'm going to stick up for someone that I find as a friend. When I become friends with somebody, I don't like get my new IFB checklist out and just say, hey, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I just, the guy invited me to preach at his church. Big deal. That doesn't mean I endorse every single thing he believes. But it's turned into a giant controversy, apparently. I mean, even to the fact that they were, giving fake restraining orders against him while he was out working at night.
Wow.
Like these two railing women that are kicked out went to him while he was working at his secular job because he gets like partial payment or whatever, and served him and pretended they were real served papers. They like drew him up and faked a whole bunch of stuff on it. That's how crazy these Ruckmanites are, just so you know. And apparently, I was seen by eyewitnesses, walking to the bank with the pastor to take the money out of the bank to steal it from the church. I mean, anybody that believes that stupid, idiotic stuff, I'm not even going to name who it is, but it's just so stupid. But what's really going on is there's a faction of Ruckmanites in this church that are trying to overthrow the pastor, who they voted in unanimously, by the way, as the pastor. And it's funny because we act like everybody gets ordained like the pastors in our movement do. Most people, we were talking about it last night, at Heartland, when you graduate, you sign this paper, right? And then they ordain you as the pastor at the Bible college. Is that how ordinations are supposed to happen? We act like, all these old IFB churches just ordain people the way we would. And so if they voted someone in unanimously at somebody else's church, what do I have to do with that? Do I have some kind of power over somebody else's church? That's insane. So they're the ones that are actually violating all this stuff, railing. When I was there, they couldn't even send men to come and challenge me. They send women to come and challenge me. If you watched any of those sermons, I don't know if you have or not, but they're the ones I did in Yakima. One of them, these women are yelling at me inside the church, asking me questions while I'm preaching. And I finally just said, the Bible says women are supposed to keep silence in the church. And then the next time they came, after they served the fake subpoena, the next time they came, they sent women that were already kicked out of the church to come. Because you know what? They know that we're not going to lay hands on them and throw them out like we would the men. Because I was standing at the door waiting for the men to come, and they're too cowardly and scared to come. And apparently they have to sue church members because they can't handle their name being, they can't handle being called a heretic because they're Ruckmanites and idiots. So, but they try to come, the women try to come in the church, and I kicked them out too. I was like, you're a bozo. They're like, who? I was like, you're bozos, you're not coming in. Who's a bozo? I was like, you! You're the bozo! And I told him to get out. The pastor gave me the right to do that, so I took advantage of it. But they are bozos. How are you going to sit there and let women just sit there and rail in church against the pastor while the church services are going on? You can't do that. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And now they're filing lawsuits against the people that don't even have anything to do with it, just all church members. It's like, you want to talk about getting reasons to be kicked out? Well, first of all, they stole the church. They're the ones that hijacked the bank account for the church. That's covetous, isn't it? Yeah. Kicked out. Yeah. They're the ones that were railing against their pastor. Kicked out. Yeah. They're the ones, the deacons are the ones that tried to fire the pastor. Do the deacons have a right to fire a pastor?
Nope.
No. Bye. They're causing division.
Right.
And now this guy's filing like a, you know, he already has a restraining order against him. Like from the pastor, he's putting his hands on the pastor as they're trying to fire him. So I'm just saying all that to say this. People will reveal themselves in due time. But who's on the side of right? I mean, if they're saying they're a believer, they're suing them for calling them heretics. So if they're really saved Christians, then they should know that you don't sue fellow Christians. You don't take them to the law. It's wicked. So number one, we remove the bozo. Number two, the bozos will remove themselves sometimes. And then number three, God removes the bozo. Sometimes God does it.
Yep.
So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 4. First Corinthians 5, 4 says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Now, we just did the Lord's Supper at our church. I know that you guys did too. And I heard a little bit of Pastor Shelley teaching about this subject. And sometimes pastors don't know what's going on. You know, I don't know. You know, I know that we're accused of being a cult, but I believe it or not, I don't have cameras in all my church members' houses. I don't have speakers telling them when it's time to come to church. I don't know everything about their finances and their lives. I don't know anything like that. So people could be getting away with doing things. But, you know, part of the Lord's Supper is, you know, we're supposed to examine ourselves and make sure that we're not doing any of these sins that would get us kicked out of church. Because here's the thing. If someone's sitting in church and they're a fornicator, nobody knows about it except for them. You know, what is God going to do to that person? He's going to make them sick or kill them. That's what the Bible says, right?
Yeah.
So let's look at, let's see. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 27. See, because God is going to remove the leaven that we might not know about. Or maybe that person does, you know, that bozo that needs to be kicked out is just, you know, they're sitting there, they don't want to leave. And sometimes it's up, you know, then it's God is going to take care of business. God's going to do that, and he warns us about things. Now, obviously, there's Judases that can creep into, but saved people can die just as well as an unsaved person for committing these types of sins and staying in church. God wants us to be a good, a wholesome lump here, doesn't he? So God is the one that knows who's sitting in church committing these sins that shouldn't be in the services. Look at verse 27. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So the Bible instructs us to examine ourselves, doesn't it? And then it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself." Now, this isn't talking about you're going to go to hell, unless you're talking about a false prophet, okay? But damnation can just be your body being destroyed. not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So, look, if they won't reveal themselves, if the pastor doesn't know that they need to be out, then God can just get them out another way. You know, and that's why I instruct people when they take the Lord's Supper, hey, make sure you're not committing any of these sins before you partake. You know, it's not in there as a warning for no reason. Many are weak, and so I always try to get sick before we do the Lord's Supper, so it doesn't, you know, I don't want people to think anything crazy, you know. But I was sick before the Lord's Supper this year, and it kind of led into the next week. I was like, I was already sick before I took it, so don't even think anything, all right? But God is going to get the people out that we can't get out, the ones that won't reveal themselves. You know, and some people will just get stuck in the church, and for whatever reason, God just allows these people to be in amongst us, this mixed multitude that takes place sometimes. So it's always like a problem. And God just allows this to take place for some reason where people will stay in our churches and cause problems. And, you know, but sometimes it's just the pastor being negligent. And a lot of times that's probably what it really is. Because if you know about it, you should do something about it. You can't just let that kind of stuff slide as the pastor. And then, you know, sometimes people just move on and they're like, well, I can't handle these stringent things against me. You know, I want to be able to fornicate whenever I want. And some Christians actually think that they don't have to follow God's laws anymore. And they're wrong about that. But look what it says in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. So, and remember, the context of this is people were not taking the Lord's Supper seriously. They were bringing food and acting like it was some kind of a feast. And they weren't discerning the Lord's body. So we have to understand that. But, you know, God, people are going to get out by hook or crook. You know, God's going to get people out that need to be out. And that means by any way possible. So sickness or death. And then you think about people like the reprobates, you know, because not everybody is a reprobate that gets kicked out. Not everybody's a reprobate that leaves. So, and Judas hung himself, didn't he? He took the Lord's Supper and he went out and killed himself. Pretty much right after that. I mean, he went and betrayed the Lord Jesus, kissed him at the Garden of Gethsemane, and then went and hung himself. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Acts chapter 1. Verse 16. Acts 1:16. The Bible says, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to him that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So he got a pretty cruel thing happen with him after he even hung himself. Then he fell, and you know, his guts all gushed out. That's pretty gross, isn't it? But you know, it was called the field of blood because of that. And that's a warning to anybody that would be a Judas-type person, that God's going to deal with them in a very harsh way. Yep. So look, these people that get away with, you know, you see like it seems like they're getting away with talking all this crap and starting all this stuff, getting people fired from their jobs, just lying and slandering people, the people of God and godly pastors. You know what? They're not going to get away with it.
Right.
Yeah. And even if they live to be 99 years old or whatever, like Billy Balaam, they're still not going to get away with it.
Yep.
God's still going to deal with them. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. And we don't, it's hard for us to understand people like this. It really is. Because if you're just a saved person, it's hard for you to understand this type of person. But look at what the Bible says. Enter not into the path of the wicked, verse 14, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. There's people out there that are like this, and that's hard for a person that's saved to understand how someone could get like that, to where they can't even go to sleep unless they've done some kind of mischief. Their sleep is taken away. They got insomnia. Isn't that what that means? When your sleep is taken away, you just can't sleep? It's called insomnia. Unless they cause some to fall. There's people out there, they're psychopaths. They're psychopath reprobates, right? So we got. I think there's a movie about that or something. But anyway, there's people like that. And hey, we don't understand how people like that think. It's hard for us to imagine that, but there are people out there like that. But guess what? God is not going to let them get away with it forever. They're not going to get away with it. It's not acceptable to him. And you know what? Honestly, all three of these things, all three of these ways that people get out of our churches that are bozos, I'm acceptable. It's acceptable to me with all of them. Any way that they get out, I'm cool with. If I have to kick them out, if they reveal themselves and leave, or if God just takes them out or kicks them out or gets them out of here, whatever way that happens, I'm happy with the end result of it. Because I don't want these people breathing the same air that I'm breathing in the same room. Yeah. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse number 27. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 27. And like I said, sometimes, you know, God has his purpose for doing the things that he does. And maybe it's just so that trash collector can come and collect some more trash that needs to be taken out, and then they all get out together or something. You know, God has that trash collector system, doesn't he? Look at verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seeds in thy field? And whence then hath it tares? Talking about weeds. And he saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. So sometimes getting these bad people out, can cause other people that are good people to get drawn out with them. And we've seen that happen. People leave churches like ours because, you know, they don't see it as being fair to what happened to that other person. It's because they don't look at the Bible the way that they're supposed to look at it. That's the problem. You know, they just don't understand that. And so it can cause damage to get some of these people out at the wrong time. That's why you have to have the goods on people. That's why you can't just say, I know that person's evil. They show me all the red flag signs. But if you kick that person out and got him out, what would happen? Well, he just kicked him out for no reason. He didn't have any evidence that person was a railer. You see, we have to do things the correct way. We have to play by the rules, which sometimes is hard for me to just, you know, it makes me angry. Because you know that they're bad and you want them out, but you have to play by the rules. They don't. These evil, wicked people will just lie and deceive and pull people out of churches. They have no problems making you lose your job, making you lose your livelihood, throwing you in jail, whatever. You know, if they could get us thrown in jail, they would do it in a heartbeat. But we have to abide by the rules, but that's because we're the good guys and they're the bad guys. So, look, we gotta understand that it's not a bad thing for people to get kicked out of church sometimes. It's not a bad thing for people to move on. And sometimes you don't know why they did. But maybe God got them out of there just because he knew that they needed to be somewhere else. And again, Cameron's not a bad guy, okay? He's moving because he's trying to do something great for God, right? So I'm not talking about those kind of people. But we have to understand this concept. Look at verse 30. In Matthew chapter 13, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather you together the first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. God knows where everybody's supposed to go. So we need to understand that. And again, I've gotten to the point where I'm glad that certain people are gone. And I just figured God bounced them out because they left because it was God's will or whatever. And so, again, Pastor Jimenez is also right when he says there's some people that are sitting in church that are liabilities. And you know what? I will try to actively get someone out that I think is a bad person. I will try to get the goods on them. I mean, I'm not looking to get goods on everybody. I don't have like a secret list where I'm like, okay, Dylan, yeah, that red flag. But, you know, you make mental notes sometimes. He's got red hair, red flag. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, some people just suck. And they suck at life. They suck at preaching. They suck as church members. They suck as friends. And they're just terrible people. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with getting those types of people out of our churches. And I'm glad when they leave. So don't be disheartened when some false prophet gets kicked out or some bad person gets kicked out. And, you know, as a pastor, I take when families leave personally. You know, and you do that. It's just part of being a pastor. But, you know, I always think to myself, well, what could I have done differently? How could I have helped these people? Because there's people that just leave and they're just backslidden, you know. And I'd like to help them. I would like to have found a way where I could have helped them stay in church. But you know what? Again, maybe God had a reason why he didn't want them there anymore. So, you know, some people are not bozos, but they just need to go. So anyway, and you know, if you're a spiritual person, we can restore people. In Galatians chapter 6, it talks about in verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, again, the bozos can be brought back in as long as they're not bozos anymore, right? So, and we should be spiritual, but don't get yourself tempted in trying to restore that person. So just to recap, bozos leaving is a good thing, not a bad thing. People that are bozos can be restored eventually. And number one, we can get rid of them. Number two, they get rid of themselves. Number three, God gets rid of them for us. But remember, it's not always a bad thing, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this great church, Steadfast Baptist. I pray once again, Lord, that you would just continue to bless this church. Everybody that's traveling home, I pray you'd keep them safe and give them traveler's mercies, Lord. And just pray that you would, like I said, continue to bless the church here and the leadership. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 183. Oh, how I love Jesus. For the last hymn for tonight. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.